Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
One more road to cross. One more risk to take.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams, so you know what that means. We got Vinny Bonsignor with us. We're going to break it down. He's got some awesome insight from some of the players, some of the coaches, some cool stories about McVay. So we're going to talk all that and more. Matchups, pregame game balls. It's a great conversation we had, so stay tuned to that. Before we get going, you know the drill. Give us a follow on social media. Locked On Rams, all accounts, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find our show on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast. Hit the subscribe button. Share with people. I want to welcome in all the new listeners. Thanks so much. This is the time we've been waiting for all season long. I cannot wait for this game. This matchup is awesome. If you guys didn't get a chance to listen to some of our episodes earlier in the week, go back. The one with Ross Jackson yesterday was awesome. I think it ended up being about a 45-minute podcast, and we probably could have gone for another 45 minutes. So FYI, forgive the sound. I'm in now a new location recording. This is now probably my 50th location recording for the podcast. And as you guys will notice in the interview, the sound will be a little bit different because when I do some of these interviews, I have to use my other mic. So that's just kind of a heads up on that. If you guys have noticed that, maybe you haven't. I don't know. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick it over to the Vinny interview because I actually got to pack up, head to the airport. I'm going to edit this thing on the plane, put it together, post it for tomorrow. We've got one more show this week, Serena Morales, Friday Hype Edition, getting you ready for the game. If you guys have any questions for Serena, make sure to shoot them in. If you guys have any questions for Serena, make sure to hit me up, DM me, email me, whatever. Let me know. Be more than happy to ask. But with that said, Rams Nation, you know what it is. Until next time. Peace. All right, Rams Nation, we are back, Thursday edition. Vinny Bonsignor is joining us as always. Vinny, how you doing today, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I am so jacked for this game. It's unbelievable. As I mentioned before we started this, I'm out in New York. I was filming a little segment, which you guys at the Locked On podcast, you guys will see here soon. I'll talk to you more about that coming up. But I wish we were playing this game in 10 minutes. I am that ready for this. There's so many storylines going on in this game. There's so much excitement. The rematch, we're a different team, all that and more. So I guess to kind of just open this up, as you look at this matchup, what's your favorite thing going into this game, or what's the matchup you're looking at most as far as this game on Sunday?
Two things. Who controls the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball? The Saints have a really good offensive line. They're banged up a little bit right now. Can the Rams defensive line and defensive front kind of replicate what they did against the Cowboys on Saturday? Number two, you know, can the Rams offensive line perform the way they've been, not just on Saturday night, although that, to me, that was one of their better games of the year.
Right.
But basically for the last 3 weeks, they've been back on track. Can they replicate that? And then obviously it's in the defensive backfield. What kind of a difference does Aqib Talib make, and how are the Rams going to deal with Mike Thomas, their great wide receiver, the Saints' great wide receiver. So those are the main things, because I feel if the Rams defensive line can win that battle, not just, you know, limit the run, but also make life a little bit difficult for Drew Brees. He gets the ball out so quick, it's hard to get him to the ground, but if they could just kind of move him off spots and get in his face a little bit, just be disruptive, I think that's going to go a long way for the Rams.
Yeah, and I want to kind of go a little bit deeper in that matchup. You talked about Michael Thomas. Obviously, we all know what happened last time, 211 yards. Marcus Peters, the whole gumbo talk. There's a lot of storylines in general just with that alone. But, looking at his game, and he just came off of a 12-catch game. That was 12-catch game back in Week 9. How do they neutralize him? I mean, they played a bunch of zone last time, and I know Marcus Peters got a lot of grief, and he was covering him a handful of times, but he was picking apart a zone at the same time. We didn't get any sacks. We didn't get a lot of pressure on Drew Brees. So coming around this time, maybe, you know, talk to me a little bit. How do we stop him? And if we do, what does that stat line look for him? Like, at the end of the day, if you looked at a piece of paper and you saw his stat line, you said, man, the Rams probably won that game if that happened.
Well, here's what's odd for me, or at least might sound odd to some people. If you look at, you know, like you said, Thomas went off on Sunday against the Eagles. But if Alshon Jeffrey comes up with the ball, they may win that game even with all of that going on. You know, I think that you can get a little too crazy trying to pay so much attention to him that you kind of throw yourself off in a way. I mean, if he goes off a little bit for yards, but you're still in the game, or you're still, in position to win the game. Is that really that big of a deal? I know that sounds weird a little bit, but, you know, maybe because I'm getting so many questions. How are they going to stop him? Are they going to double team him with brackets and bring another guy over? And sometimes you could outthink yourself a little bit too much. You're not going to stop Michael Thomas. You don't want him to go off. But if everyone else is doing their job, if the offense is functioning, if Jared Goff is having a good game, if they're running the ball, you can almost live with some of the stats that Thomas is going to put up, because he's going to put up numbers. He's the best wide receiver on their team, on a team that doesn't have a whole bunch of other complementary parts at wide receiver. So I'd be careful in how much attention and focus I would be paying to him, and then open the door for somebody else maybe to beat you. Some of that, I guess what I'm saying is you're just going to kind of have to live with a little bit on him, because he's going to get his numbers.
Yeah, and especially how much they go to them. You're right. I mean, if you pay too much attention, they've got Ted Ginn Jr. back and is healthy finally. We know from his past he's got a deep threat capability, so you don't want to get caught sleeping on, a shorter route with Michael Thomas and let him take the top off you. They've got two dangerous backs, even though we haven't seen kind of that, dynamic, togetherness that they've had in the past. Last year they were really built on that running game, and now that's us coming into the game. When you kind of look at the two running back situations in this game, who do you think kind of has the tilt at an advantage there?
Well, it could go either way, really. But I think that's going to come down to what's going on up front. That's going to dictate a lot of that. You can't obviously discount Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. They have the ability to really, put a beating on you. But so do the Rams now with Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson, which is a two-headed monster that I think works perfectly and complements each other. And I'm really impressed with Todd Gurley's professionalism. And I was keeping an eye on that dynamic on Saturday night. And it was really interesting to me. And I talked to C.J. about this. There were a couple of times where I saw C.J., Todd's running onto the field and C.J.'s, waving him off going, "I'm good, I'm kind of in a rhythm," and vice versa. And both of them respected the other guys, where he felt he was when he was on the field. And C.J. said, that's just kind of how he played it. Although there were a couple of times where Todd or Sean McVay kind of mandated, "No, I want you on the field," or "I want Todd on the field." So there was a quite the balance going on, but a lot of it was between the two running backs and the respect that they have for each other, and Todd's willingness to have somebody share the load with them, I think is critical and huge. And I can't see how, unless the Rams offensive line just gets completely whipped up front, I can't see that those guys are not going to be a factor again on Sunday as they were on Saturday.
Yeah, Todd Gurley obviously getting the big paycheck, but man, he is really fitting into that "we, not me." And you're right. I mean, the unselfishness to be able to let someone come in and get a lot of the high praise, because there's been so much talk about CJ, and he seems to be loving it just as much as everyone else. It's all about winning with this team, so whatever they can do. And what a great addition at the end of the year to add CJ. He's got this huge, massive chip on his shoulder, and every week you can tell he's not running any lighter. He is definitely running angry and running downhill, one cut and go, like he says, so he's fun to watch. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get some words from some sponsors. We'll be right back on the other side. Vinny Bonsignor, Bear Motter, Locked On Rams, Thursday after this. Listen up, Rams Nation. Before we get over to the next segment, we've got to talk about the man, the myth, the Robles. Dave Robles. He's given you a chance to win season tickets to the 2019 Rams season. How do you do that? You give him a call. If you're buying or selling a home right now, he is the guy you got to be talking to. He's been a top producing realtor in LA for over 20 years. Dave is a Los Angeles native, so he knows the city in and out. He's a super strong negotiator who understands how to get you an awesome deal on a home or top dollar for your current home if you're selling. I talked to him on the phone not too long ago, and he was telling me about how he got an extra $50,000 to his client's pocket when they took over the property. Spiced it up a little bit, took some pictures, put it on social media, used the strong team behind him to help sell this house and make an extra $50,000 for his client. That can be you. Check out his excellent reviews on Yelp and Zillow. He's a super awesome guy. I promise you, he's going to take care of you. Check out his website, daverobles.com. That's daverobles.com. Or just give him a call, 213-712-4343. Tell him Bear Motter sent you. Mention Lockdown Rams, and I'm telling you right now, he's going to get you season tickets to the 2019 Rams season. And if you're moving out of town, he helps you sell your house, he'll give you equal value and take care of you as well. Dave Robles gets the Bear stamp of approval. And don't forget, check out daverobles.com or call him at 213-712-4343. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. We've got Vinny Bonsignor with us. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter. Also, check him out with The Athletic LA. Get a subscription. Put up some amazing articles. That one about the recruiting was amazing as the team kind of went and scouted ahead. I'm sure they did that again this past week as they were getting ready, you know, depending on who they were going to face. But, you know, there's a lot of, like we said at the beginning, there's so many storylines with this, the rematch, the gumbo, the, you know, the offenses, the one versus two, that dome, that how loud that's going to be. I want to talk about Jared Goff a little bit. Talk to me about what you see in him and the confidence maybe that the Rams fans should have of him going in. Is this game, you know, too big for him, or, you know, will that dome and how loud it is be able to rattle him? I mean, what is his kind of, what's your perception of him going into the game and expectations for, you know, how well he can do?
Yeah, I don't think that the dome is going to be too big. You know, the moment's not going to be too big for him. I don't think the stadium's going to be too big for him. You know, I think that, you know, I know it's going to be even louder on Sunday, but it was really loud the last time that the Rams played. That was a playoff game for all intents and purposes. Both teams knew that the winner of that game was going to have the upper hand on home field advantage. I think, you know, these were two Lions that were that have been circling each other all year, especially at that point, that late in the season. They kind of knew that, you know, the way things are sizing up, we're basically the two best teams in the NFC right now. So this is kind of a playoff atmosphere, and it was. So I don't think that he's going to be intimidated by anything. I think that it helped these last 3 weeks that the Rams have kind of gotten back to their roots. They've sort of recommitted to just being the big physical team that they can be and establishing a running game and staying with the running game. I know it's easier to do that when you're chalking off 6, 7, 8, 9 yards on first down with your carries. But, you know, it's imperative that even if there's a little bit of pushback from the Saints, to stick with it, because I think that's when the Rams are at their best, when that run becomes a serious threat and then teams start honoring it, you know, and then it allows Jared Goff and the offense to really work out of optimum conditions when they're, you know, doing play action and getting a little bit of extra time because linebackers are a little bit frozen, safeties are a little bit frozen having to deal with the run. And I think if they get into that kind of a mode again, then I think he's going to be just fine. He did a really good job of taking care of the ball on Saturday. Yeah, there were some errant passes. He wasn't as accurate as he would have liked to have been. But this is playoff football. There's you know, everyone knows your tendencies by this point. Teams are gearing up defensively. Guys are playing just a little bit harder too. I mean, there's different phases to a season. The playoffs are a whole other phase. But as long as he can take care of the ball, be accurate, spread the ball around, and definitely lean heavily on that run. And if the Rams defense can you know, travel to New Orleans with them, then I think the whole thing is going to be, they're going to be in good shape, Jared included.
So looking at his last game, obviously, you know, we know what happened on the ground as far as the rushing attack that we had. And we didn't really need so much from Jared Goff, but he did have some missed throws. He didn't have, you know, the best rating. He didn't have the best yards. I don't think he threw a touchdown pass. Do you think a performance very similar to that is going to be good enough in the Dome? Or do you think he needs to kind of step it up just even one more notch from last week's game?
No, I think he's going to have to step it up, and I think he's going to have to – there's going to be a handful of big-time throws he's going to have to make, and he's going to have to complete a few of those big-time throws. And I think there's going to be some opportunities for them to attack down the field, and I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, they were aggressive early on trying to take some big shots down the field. And especially with – you know that the Saints – are already thinking about that run game because it's been pretty prolific these last 3 weeks, and especially so on Saturday with the two-headed monster. So they're going to go in understanding the importance of stopping that run, and I think initially that's something that the Rams can really take advantage of by being aggressive down the field. And if they can do that, throw a couple of haymakers at the Saints, I think that it would be really good for the Rams, especially early in that game. And I think that they will. And I wouldn't be shocked if Jared, had a big day early on down the field.
Yeah, we saw the Saints last week, you know, start out pretty slow, and the Eagles were able to get on the board really fast. And then adjustments were made, and the Eagles couldn't really move the ball. So hopefully we can, you know, get it going early and, you know, convert on touchdowns. That was the big thing, obviously, in the Dallas game, kicking a lot of field goals. It ended up being okay in the end, but, you know, it would have been really nice to have those extra 12 points or whatever it ended up being instead of those field goals that we kicked. And then for Sean McVay, you know, he gets his first win last week. He's going on to, the NFC Championship game for the first time. This question actually comes from one of the listeners. Listeners, Connor, thank you so much for reaching out. He wanted me to ask Vinny this week, so here you are. And his question is, he said, if I'm correct, this is the first time for Sean McVay he will be facing a non-divisional team for the second time in a season where he lost the previous matchup. I think that's pretty accurate to say. He says, do you think he has designed new plays for the Saints specifically and developed a different defensive scheme from what they did last time in hopes of better results?
Well, the defensive scheme has already evolved since that since the Saints game. You know, not necessarily they still are a base 3-4 defense, but in the defensive backfield, they've gone much more to zone look to help Marcus Peters, who's just a much better cornerback in that kind of a setting where he can read the quarterback and read what's going on in front of him, rather than being up on tight coverage and man coverage and running with the wide receiver with his back to the line of scrimmage. That's not where he's at best. So they've adjusted to be more of a read and react defense, since that game. Offensively, you can already see on Saturday that they did some things differently. They were in the high 90s.
Right.
Running the ball out of snaps under center and a high 90s throwing the ball in shotgun. Well, they completely flipped that, and not completely, but they were doing a lot of passing out of under center and running out of shotgun. And you can tell. In fact, I talked to Jared Goff about this, and it was just sort of an off to the side conversation because I was curious about it. And from my perspective, it really threw the Cowboys out of whack defensively. You can see them kind of like trying to figure out now, okay, what's going to happen now, because they're doing things completely opposite from what we saw on film. And that's a credit, obviously, to Sean McVay, and he understood you have to change it up a little bit in the playoffs. You have to be confident in your players that they're going to be able to execute things that they haven't been doing all year. So it's a credit to Sean, and it's a credit to the team. And I would expect some new wrinkles, even from Saturday to Sunday. I think they're going to be foundationally what they are, which is, you know, run dominant, especially on first downs to get into second and manageables and open up the play menu, in second and shorts. But I do think you're going to see some new wrinkles as well.
Yeah, it was really awesome to see Sean McVay kind of mix it up in that last game, and you talked about it, stuff that they hadn't seen on film, and you could tell they didn't react very well to it, and it created obviously a dominant game on the ground. Hopefully that's kind of what he's been holding on to these past couple weeks. We had a nice friendly schedule to finish the season. Obviously, we lost a couple of those games to some tough opponents near the end, but I think that kind of gave us a good perspective coming into this, the taste of loss and then kind of rebuilding and coming back with some new plays. So hopefully he does the same on Sunday, catch the Saints off guard, put up some points. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside, get our last break, get some words from some sponsors. We'll be right back. Vinny Bonsignor on the other side right after this. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third and final segment. We are just days away from this game. I cannot wait. It's so exciting. Vinny, I want to say thank you for coming on all season. Hopefully, we've got another couple episodes in us as far as the Rams continue to go on, move on to Atlanta. You put out a really fun tweet, as we kind of just talked about, Sean McVay, that if he does move on, obviously this game is kind of an Andrew Whitworth reunion back into the Louisiana State. And, you know, if Sean McVay can make it to the Super Bowl, he will be reunited back in Georgia where he beat out Calvin Johnson for the State Player of the Year.
Yes, believe it or not, he was a gutty little quarterback. I believe it was Marist High School in Atlanta. They won their division, state championship in their division. He was the Player of the Year, and then he went on to Miami of Ohio, where he played defensive back, I believe it was, and obviously that's a coaching factory, and figured out really early that, you know, the NFL is probably not for me, but I'm going to put my education to good use and get into move on to the next phase, which is coaching. But yes, he's an Atlanta kid who was the State Player of the Year, I believe it was 2003, beating out Calvin Johnson, go figure.
That is awesome. I'm sure that's something he's got to be pretty proud of, and he's a really humble guy. Go ahead.
Real quick, you could YouTube it. You could see highlights of him in high school. Just go to YouTube, go to Sean McVay, Marist High School. You'll see your head coach doing his thing at quarterback as an option quarterback.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to definitely be on YouTube later checking that out because, man, see the beginning of this guy and you know, obviously comes from a football pedigree, but we are so excited that he landed here in Los Angeles a few years back. And obviously we had a coaching opening, and we were talking about this the other day. We were doing a podcast, and we were getting ready to kind of break down candidates of who we thought might be the coach. And I had about a page on Shanahan, and I was going to just, you know, really dive in there, and McVay was like the third guy, and I had to Google him and figure out a few tidbits to talk about. And right before we sat down to record, the Rams announced we're hiring this guy. I mean, it happened so fast. They did the first interview, brought him back, and then hired him straight away. So we had to scrap that whole episode and then really try to find a way to talk for an hour about this guy, Sean McVay, we didn't know about at all. But, man, what a decision, and it's really worked out for the Rams. Going back to this game – go ahead.
Real quick, I've got a funny – not a funny story, but an interesting story. I'll never forget this. I was headed to a TV studio to tape a TV segment that I was doing, and it was just so happened to be while Sean McVay was interviewing with the Rams somewhere in Los Angeles, and I got a text from somebody who was at the meeting, who was at the interview, and the text said, "Sean McVay is special!" Exclamation point. So I was like, "Wow, the Rams kind of know who they're gonna hire." Now it took about another week or so. They went through the process and interviewed some more people. You know, they were very diligent in that process. Interviewed a lot of candidates, but you could tell early on, initially, from the very get-go of talking to him, that they knew that they had found something pretty special in Sean McVay.
I love that. That's a great story because you're right, kind of that first impression and left a great impression, then obviously going through the process and no one was able to come close. They call him back and hire him pretty quick. So awesome. I'm really excited about it. And obviously he gets another chance this Sunday to kind of go on and continue to build his early legacy. Obviously we've got a couple coaches that potentially are going to leave. We've heard sources that, you know, we may already have a couple that are going to get hired out. So we'll see how that kind of plays out after we're done here. But back to the game, if you look at this and, you know, the Saints put up 20 points and they seem to struggle to get to 20 points. I mean, they were clawing. They had to kick some field goals. And like you mentioned, it was a tip pass really away from, you know, going the other way and us seeing the Eagles in the Coliseum. But their offense hasn't looked awesome. our offense got to the red zone and sputtered a few times. Obviously, we put up crazy yards, and we did end up scoring some touchdowns. But do you think this is going to be on the lower side of points or on the higher side of points?
Gosh, it could go either way. And I'm not trying to back out of that question because I've been going back and forth in my own head. You know, what kind of a game is it going to be? Now, you know, you have to be honest about this. The Saints offense, you know, over the last month or so, just hasn't been playing as well as they had earlier in the season. You know, we saw them struggle against the Cowboys. There were some, I don't remember exactly, I'm still doing my homework on them, what their point totals were after that. But I just remember just anecdotally looking at some of their scores or watching them a little bit on TV going, God, they just don't look the same that they looked, you know, especially in that 45-35 game against the Rams. So I wouldn't be shocked if it fell lower than what a lot of people are expecting. And a lot of that has to do with defenses just get better as the year goes on. There's more of a book on offenses. So there's more ways that defenses can figure out ways to stop them and slow them down and disrupt them. And I think you saw that against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, if it's a 20, if the Saints score 20 points in this game, again, I have a hard time not believing the Rams are not going to be able to score more than 20 against them. So that would put the Rams in pretty darn good shape.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I've gone back and forth myself as trying to figure out what type of game this is going to be. And I, you know, you just assume at this point everyone's going to, you know, try to air it out and trying to, you know, go for it on fourth down and really put everything on the table and make a run for it. So, but at the same time, these defenses have been playing a lot better lately, especially the Rams. I mean, they did a great job last week stopping the run. Not even a great job. They did an incredible job stopping the run. They're going to have to do it again. We've done this before, Vinny, but let's kind of do pre-game game balls. So maybe pick a guy from the offensive side and a guy from the defensive side and kind of, you know, who's going to be the key if we win this game, potentially would be a game ball afterwards. You know, this is the reason why we won was because this guy.
I'm going to go with two. I'm going to go with Jared Goff, and I'm going to go with Aaron Donald. I think that the big-time players, if the Rams do win, those two guys are going to have to do what they've done quite often this year, and that's have, you know, big signature games. And so it might be obvious, but if it works out that way for the Rams, they're going to be in really good shape. But I do have some you know some wild cards. I think John Johnson, you know, might come up, you know, with a big play. I think Dante Fowler is primed to make an impact. Gerald Everett, you know, there's so much attention that's going to be paid to the wide receivers. I think Gerald Everett might have an opportunity to make some plays. And by the way, for everyone out there, Samson Ebukam missed that interception, which would have been a clear pick six on Saturday. He was joking around in the locker room that was the result of practicing all week against the run. So it looks like the Rams linebackers probably didn't do the pit tip drill and the interception drill because they were so focused on stopping the run schematically and as a team and in practice. So he blamed not being able to come up with that ball on not practicing or overloading on the run on over the week. So I thought that was pretty funny. And his teammates, trust me, were giving him a lot of grief over that.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine that locker room afterwards, especially when they won and everyone was in a great mood. And hey, you know what? When you hold him to 50 yards, like if they had 120 yards on the ground or something like that and he drops the ball, you know, that excuse is out the window. But you're right. They hung their hat on the run, and so we won the game. But, man, I was watching that. I actually was able to attend the game, and I was on those bleachers above the tents in the opposite end zone. And it was a clear shot. You're right. I mean, that was a pick six all the way, and I was just – razzing a Cowboys fan because he was trying to say the possession before that we were going to turn the ball over, and I go, you know what, right here is a pick six, and he drops it, and the guy's like, oh my god, you almost called that, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But I'm glad that he can, you know, laugh it off, and you know, obviously the team played well, move forward, and hopefully he gets another opportunity, because when he gets the ball in his hand, which it's happened a couple times, he can find the end zone. You know, he's been a really good at kind of, you know, the scoop and score, and then, you know, running over Mahomes and all that in that magical game. So hopefully he gets another opportunity on Sunday. I like the picks. You said Jared Goff and Aaron Donald. I think you're right. I think we need more pressure on Drew Brees. We didn't get a lot of that last time. Your wild card of Fowler is another good one as far as pressure. John Johnson has made big plays all year long, so I love all those. I'm going to also throw in Josh Reynolds because we had talked about this earlier. We know what Woods and Cooks are going to do, and obviously our running game. But we need that secondary level of the offense, and that's either our tight ends or Josh Reynolds to have something, right, to kind of create some space for the other guys. So I look for him as well to have a big game. And then this will close out the show as we always do. The point spread that MyBookie is putting up right now is a -3.5 for the Saints. So they're favored at home, obviously. Not by much. It's almost a pick 'em despite the home field advantage. So do you think the Rams cover, and how do you see this game ending up?
I do. I do see the Rams covering. I really believe that they're in a good space right now mentally and physically. I felt like 2 weeks ago, leading up to the Cowboys game, I loved where they were demeanor-wise, the way they were bouncing around the locker room. It didn't feel anything like it felt against the week before the Falcons playoff games. The Saturday did not feel anything like it felt the year before against Atlanta. It looked completely different. They looked comfortable. They look like they were ready for it. They look like they were poised to seize the moment. I expect the same exact situation this week. I think the Rams have prepared themselves tremendously for this moment. They went through a lot this year, going on the road to win some big games, dealing with some personal tragedy that they dealt with, having to go to Colorado Springs and practice, then, redirecting back to Los Angeles when they were supposed to play in Mexico City and delivering a great performance against the Chiefs. I just think that they're poised to take this next step, and I see a good performance from the Rams and a victory.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they cover the spread. I'm more confident this time than I was last time when we went down to New Orleans. We are just playing, like you mentioned, just a different type of ball right now, the confidence level. I love seeing these guys all loose and obviously being able to make jokes and also being able to stay focused. The we, not me, as we mentioned earlier, is so prevalent, and it's awesome to watch. I think that we're going to go down. We're going to continue to play well on defense. I agree with you. I think Jared Goff is going to up his game from last week. He really didn't have to do much last week, and obviously you're the quarterback. You have to do some things, but, there was so much action on the ground that, he really just didn't have to screw it up in a sense. No interceptions, which is awesome. So if he can control the ball as far as no turnovers and put a couple in the air, a couple deep shots, then I think we'll be good. And then there's always just that wild card of, play clean football, no penalties. There's been a lot of talk about the crew this week and how that's going to go. But from my understanding, they let people play pretty well. Hopefully, if Johnny Hecker goes for a fake punt, that maybe he'll run a couple more yards this time and make it a no-doubter. But lots to watch this Sunday. Vinny, I thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow at Vinny Bonsignore on Twitter. We look forward to watching your coverage the rest of the week. And then hopefully, again, we'll be chatting next week talking some Super Bowl stuff.
That would be incredible. They're one game away, and I know that talking to some of the guys, when they stop being, talking, as professional athletes and just start talking about it, almost as a fan, they're like, wow, we're one game away from the Super Bowl. It's pretty cool. So they're feeling it, and they're feeling the moment, and they're ready to embrace it.
Yeah, hearing Todd Gurley talk about it, you're right. He sounded like just like one of us, like the Super Bowl, man. Like, that is so cool. So hopefully those guys will get an opportunity. This team's good. I think they're going to be in the mix for a long time coming. We got a lot of people signed. So hopefully this is just the beginning. Guys, remember, check them out, The Athletic as well. Get a subscription. Read the articles. They've got coverage all over the place, all sports, awesome stuff. So, Vinny, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
All right, take care, and enjoy the game. Gotta live my life back. It's one more move to make. One more road to cross. One more risk to take. Gotta live my life back. It's one more move to make. Hey, yo, I see it. Try to avoid it, but it comes. That's how it's going in the slums. Overcome.